As you write your life story, you're far from finished. Are you looking to close the book on your job? Maybe turn a page in your career? Be continued at the Georgetown University School of Continuing Studies. Our professional master's degrees and certificates are designed to meet you where you are and take you where you want to go. At Georgetown SCS, the learning never stops, and neither do you. Write your next chapter. Be continued at scs.georgetown.edu/podcast.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Hi, I'm Wendy.
And I'm Jess, and you're listening to the Food Heaven Podcast,
your online resource for inclusive and accessible wellness.
Welcome back to another week with us, your favorite hosts, Wendy and Jess. Hey, Jess girl.
Hey, hey. ¿Cómo está usted?
How are you?
Trying to do my Dominican. Sorry. ¿Cómo está usted? Does that sound wrong?
Well,
no.
Yes, because we don't say usted. That
what do you
is
say?
More like South American.
Oh, okay.
We say tú. Everything is very informal in the Caribbean. So
right.
Unless you're referring to like an older person, then it would just be like tú.
That's true.
¿Cómo tú estás?
¿Cómo tú estás? There we go. ¿Cómo tú estás? But you still say estás with an S or no?
¿Cómo tú no, estás? ¿Cómo tú? Well, yeah, como tu ta.
Como tu, that's what I thought. Como tu ta.
Yeah, you know us, cutting out right. All types of letters.
I always get so nervous like when I'm talking to your parents because I'm like, oh God.
Do they understand? Oh my God, talking about saying? My parents.
Yes.
My mom recently was here for like a month. And it was a ride. It was a wild ride. My mom hasn't been here in years.
Okay.
Since COVID, she just didn't come back. She left to DR and she hasn't visited anything, but she had like a few things that she needed to get done. So she was like, all right, I'm going to come and I'm going to come for a month and I'm going to stay with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay. I was really excited because it's been a minute since she's been here. I mean, I've been seeing her because I go to DR. But my mom is like, oh my God, we just live so differently. Like she's kind of a hoarder.
Mm.
She just kind of like, it's like the Tasmanian devil ran through my house. Like she'll rearrange everything.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was very on edge. It was really nice having her though.
Dang. Yeah, that's tough. I mean, I'm glad she came and I guess the silver lining is she didn't stay for 6 months, which she used to stay for 6 months with you, right?
Right. She used to come for 6 months. I can't ever see myself going back to that again. Because at that point, it's like she's living with you. It's not
yeah.
like she's visiting.
Oh, yeah.
But this all ties into this week's episode mm-hmm. because my mom came and she was like, I'm going to rearrange everything in the house. I'm going to clean. I'm going to help you get organized because I've just had a lot on my plate and my house has kind of been a mess. Like I try to clean when I can, but I need like that deep, deep clean that only mothers know how to do. So
yeah.
I was like, okay, great. She's going to like take everything out the cabinets, do a deep clean. Which happened, but what also happened was that she rearranged my kitchen and I was on the verge of having an anxiety attack because I couldn't find anything.
Oh, no.
I mean, while she was here, it was fine because she was cooking for me. But now that she's gone, I'm like, oh, my God, I have to like look for things. I have to rearrange things. And
dang.
It really speaks to like the importance of having your kitchen in order when it comes to meal prep. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today, meal prep,
mm-hmm.
and how you can create a system that works for you, because we know a lot of our listeners struggle with just like having their meals prepared for the week, having a guideline for what to do to make this easier. So yeah, we thought we would do an episode about this.
Yes. And this is specifically meal prep for people who do not have time to meal prep. This is not an episode where we're going to tell you to spend forever and a day on a Sunday making every last thing and your little whatever. No, this is like the bare minimum that you can do to, and of course, bare minimum is different for everybody, but just some suggestions, things that we've throughout the years seen worked with different clients or ourselves and friends and family. So that's kind of the premise of this episode. We are specifically going to talk about how we get started with organizing our kitchens for meal prep to be successful, our favorite kitchen essentials for meal planning, why we only buy staples once per month and kind of what that process looks like. We'll talk about the simple strategy we use to put together nourishing-ish meals and our favorite websites to go to get recipes, because people are always, always asking like, well, where do I find recipes? And we'll tell you our websites, our thoughts on canned and frozen foods. And then we will top it off with our favorite three meals to prep, which we're going to do in a game. Wendy, I added this.
Oh, okay. I'm like, we are.
We are doing a meal prep game. Sounds yeah, I'm going to give you an ingredient and then you're going to tell me how you could use it in meal prep.
Great. So before we hop in, I want to highlight a listener review. And this is from Summertime Fine 19. Hi, Wendy and Jess. I love listening to your podcast and become educated on topics that are important to me. I originally found you on YouTube some years ago and fell in love with your content. In the past year, I subscribed to your podcast and enjoy the weekly episodes on my way to work. You have a variety of topics that are always interesting. And after listening to you, I started using Ritual vitamins and saw noticeable differences and have since eliminated my previous multivitamin. Thanks for all that you do for our community. Thank you, Summertime Fine 19, for leaving that review and also using our promo codes.
And I have a note about that with the promo codes. Yes. Thank you so much for mentioning this in the review, because one thing I want to point out with our podcast is our podcast is supported by the brands we partner with. And oftentimes people will tell us, like whether it's clients or people on Instagram and DMs or whatever, they're like, oh yeah, I tried XYZ and I loved it so much. Thanks for recommending. And then we'll be like, oh, amazing. Were you able to also use our code? And people are like, oh, what? No. So if you don't use our code, it actually hurts our podcast because the advertisers are not able to see that the investment in our podcast production is beneficial for them, because it's kind of different for podcast advertising. It has to be very much correlated with like a return on their investment. Anyway, this is just some behind the scenes. So we appreciate you guys so much for supporting our pod. And we know that if we recommend things, y'all are on it and you love to try it. But sometimes people just forget to use the code. And we would appreciate it so, so, so much if you would use the code when you are supporting our podcast. If you forget the code, because I get that, it can be hard, we put them all in one place. So you just go to foodheavenmadeeasy.com/hookup and all the codes are there for your purchasing pleasure. All right. Having said that, we want to do a giveaway for this week's episode. And actually, we are going to continue the same giveaway that we had for last week, because we got hundreds of you guys who were interested and entered that giveaway and downloaded our popular mix and match meal plan ideas workbook. And we figured, why not continue that into this week, especially because we're talking about meal planning again. So here's how you enter. It's very simple. You barely do anything. You just go to our Food Heaven Instagram at Food Heaven. If you're not following us, make sure to follow us and send us a DM that says guide, and we will send you our mix and match meal planning guide that has hundreds of different ideas for nourishing meals and snacks. True story. Somebody sent us a DM today and asked, do we actually like Ritual? And the answer behind the scenes is the same as the answer in front of the scenes, which is 100% yes. If you have been listening to this podcast for a while, you know that Ritual is one of the few supplements that we recommend, and for good reason. Over 97% of women aged 19 to 50 don't get enough vitamin D from their diet, and 95% don't get their recommended daily intake of omega-3 fatty acids. Ritual's Essential for Women Plus Multivitamin, which is one that we take, was formulated by exhaustive research to help fill nutrient gaps in the diet of women 18 and over. This multivitamin specifically contains nutrients to help maintain brain health, bone health, and blood health, plus provide antioxidant support. One thing that makes Ritual different is that they took things to the next level by investing in the gold standard for research, a university-led clinical trial to study the actual impact of their Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamin. The results were amazing. The study found an increase in vitamin D levels by 43% and an increase of omega-3 DHA levels by 41% in just 12 weeks. And of course, study results mean nothing if they are not published. And these were published in a leading scientific journal called Frontiers in Nutrition. I've said it before and I'll say it again. I love including Ritual as part of my daily routine to help me fill any nutrient gaps that I may be missing with food. Right now, Ritual is offering my listeners 10% off your first 3 months. Visit ritual.com/foodheaven and turn healthy habits into a ritual. That's 10% off at ritual.com/foodheaven.
I'm so excited to talk to you about this week's podcast partner because they are my go-to snack. Literally on my desk right now, I have a container of California prunes and I snack on them when I need a midday energy boost. And aside from tasting great, they also have benefits for your gut health. They help with bone health and heart health as well. When you're in between meals, I'm telling you, and you're like, I don't know what to snack on. I'm kind of bored of the same thing. California prunes, it's where it's at. I love that they're very easy to grab too. It's not like you have to make anything or prepare anything. You just eat them and you keep it moving. They have dietary fiber plus nutrients that support good gut health, potassium to support heart health, and vitamin K, copper, and other antioxidants to support healthy bones. They actually work incredibly well in baking and cooking. I've actually baked with prunes before and it works so, so well, especially as the holidays are approaching. It could be great to include them with things like chocolate, caramel, cinnamon. Your kitchen will smell so good. And if you visit californiaprunes.org, you'll find more information and great recipes. They have really, really creative recipes on there. I've browsed through their website and I've actually made their prune energy bars before. They're really good. They have everything from smoothies to prune puree. They have these sticky buns that look out of this world. So you have to make sure that you go on there if you're looking for recipe inspo. On your next shopping trip, make sure that you pick up California prunes for snacking, cooking, and baking. And we are going to hop back into our episode. Okay, so we're going to go through step by step how to create a framework that works for you when it comes to meal prep. And step one is going to be having the proper equipment. You want to make sure that you have the right tools in place so that you're not frustrated while you're cooking because things are breaking down, things are not working, your food is not being stored properly. Child, I've been through my ups and downs with this where I try to save a quick buck and then it bites me in the butt later. I've had knives break down on me. I've had food spill out of its container because it wasn't good quality. So, you know, you don't have to buy the most expensive equipment out there, but just something that you know is going to last you a few years, something that has good reviews. Some of my top kitchen tools include a food processor. I think that's the one that I use the most outside of my NutriBullet because I'm able to chop things like onion and garlic, which I use every single week in my cooking. But also I can make sauces, I can make salad dressings. And so I really, really love that. And it's also really easy to clean. I have like a mini one so that it doesn't take up too much space and it's godsend. Also Tupperware, like having the right Tupperware. I told y'all about like things spilling. When you have good Tupperware, it also helps to preserve your food for longer periods of time. And then also baking sheets, because I'm always throwing things in the oven, like especially frozen food. I just like throw it in the oven. So it's nice to have a few baking sheets that you can rely on to reheat your food.
Yeah, exactly. I love all those tips. I need to get better with the food processor because I see you post it all the time and I'm always like, I should incorporate that more. But I'm like, is the washing worth it? But it sounds like it's worth it to you.
Absolutely.
Like it's easier.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a good one. Mine, in addition to those, are the Instapot, of course. I feel like it's kind of out on Instagram, like Instapot is out now, but like it's still in for me. And my husband Yosef has kind of taken over that for his lunch meal prep. So he just throws everything in there and turns it on and then hopes for the best. And usually it works out fine. Also, a good cutting board is crucial, which I just got an amazing cutting board. And I look through our friends who have food blogs, like what they recommend. And everybody recommended this brand called Booze Block, which I bought on Amazon. And it's actually so amazing. Like the board is super heavy. It weighs like a ton.
Is that wood?
It's wood. Oh, yeah. It's solid, good, like hardwood. And I have made cutting boards before when I did my whole woodworking phase. And so I can kind of tell ones that are quality versus ones that suck. And I think the weight is definitely part of it. So that's a great tool as well. And then I recently got a good can opener because I can't tell you how much time I was wasting with this busted can opener I've had over 10 years.
Oh.
This can opener does not work. And I had it since New York. And it was one of like the three things that I shipped. One was like the garlic press, the can opener. I don't know why. So anyway, I finally got an electric one. Also like $15 on Amazon. Amazing. And yeah, it makes all the difference in the world. I was also going to say, like, I agree with the pots, the pans, the knives. Like I'm such a stickler for those things now when I didn't used to be, because it does make all the difference. However, I feel like you can get those things like pretty good quality and not spend so much money. Like for example, sometimes with these knives, there's it's so many knives and it's like people, including myself, get overwhelmed. Like, okay, like this is a set of 20 knives. Like I personally, as people who, you know, deal with food for a living, like nutrition, food, whatever, I think you need two knives, maybe three, a big one and a small one. And that's pretty much it. So don't overwhelm yourself with trying to have too many things.
Yeah, for sure. Now, step two is you want to take an inventory of what you have. I am infamous for this. I'll have like 3 bottles of garlic powder in my pantry, 5 bottles of paprika. Like, I have so many duplicates and it takes up a lot of space. Mind you, I live in a 1-bedroom apartment. So you want to take an inventory of what you have so that you're not wasting money, because a lot of times these foods are just sitting there and they're going to waste. And the next thing you know, you're like, oh, there's a funky smell in my fridge, in my pantry. This thing has been going bad. You're not even using it. So take an inventory so that you know what you have, and that way you know what you need to get.
Yeah. I feel like if you can't see it, you don't need it.
Ooh.
That's my motto. Yeah. like in the pantry, because you know, you like stuff a bunch of stuff in there where it's like in all these crevices and you don't know until you move. It's like, oh, we had the teas, you know?
Yeah.
I'm just saying the tea because I was like, the tea, where's the tea? And we put it in a random drawer and it's like, you buy all the stuff that you already have. So that is probably one of the most important things, especially for saving money and saving time, because nothing is worse than having to go back to the store because you forgot something because you didn't check, or double buying and then it kind of like goes to waste because you have too much.
Absolutely.
So don't skip on that step. Like that's super important.
Yeah.
Step three is cleaning and organizing. So it is very important to check and see what it is that you have, right? But that only goes so far. Like if you notice that you do have 3 paprikas in the cupboard and yet you're not like organizing it or cleaning it or doing something, then it still can feel overwhelming and like a mess. So this is something that I try to do at least once a week. Sometimes you don't get to it, so it's like every other week, where it's kind of organizing the fridge. So it's just like if things go bad, you know, unfortunately having to toss or compost those things, organizing your fridge. Because I feel as somebody who is struggling with burnout and all the things, like I've mentioned ADHD, it's nothing is worse than having a cluttered fridge or cupboard. Like that is the least inspiring thing to make you want to do any cooking or meal prep. So I think even though this step is like a drag, I think it's also important and you have to try to do it consistently, because if you don't, that's when it gets out of control and then you just shut down for a year. Yeah. Which happened to me in the pandemic. So
I also like doing this because it could give you ideas for what to make. Because if you're like, yes. Oh my God, I didn't realize that I had these sweet potatoes just lying in the fridge for, I don't know, a few weeks. You're like, oh damn, well, maybe let me put those to use this week before they go bad. And so I don't know. I kind of see it as like a scavenger hunt sometimes, which might give you an indication as to how my kitchen is. But if you go in your fridge and you kind of like take a little look around, you start getting creative and you're like, okay, well, what can I do with this so that it doesn't go bad? Or like, how can I incorporate these peppers into my stew so that, you know, they don't go to waste? So I don't know. I like to see it that way too. Like, this is an opportunity to save food that might be going in the trash.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a win-win. It just might take, you know, 10, 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, also, I think like once you have a system in place, this really shouldn't be taking that much time
exactly.
out of your day. Like, you know, I would say even with cleaning and organizing, if you do it like every other week, it's fine, especially during like the colder season, because if you're buying like heartier winter foods, they tend to last mm-hmm. longer. During the summer, it's a little tricky because if you're buying seasonal, like summer foods tend to go bad within like a week. But now that the winter is approaching, you have a little more wiggle room so that you can say, all right, so maybe, you know, a couple times a month, I'll go in there, I'll kind of organize a little bit. And then maybe you can do like a deep clean once a month or once every other month. So it's not that time consuming either.
Yes. The winter is coming.
I know. Over it.
Game of Thrones. I don't even watch Game of Thrones. Oh, no, that was a reference to Game of Thrones. I don't even watch Game of Thrones. But did you watch it?
No.
That's like the whole thing, because everyone always is like, the winter is coming. I'm like, what are you guys saying? They're like, Game of Thrones. Anyway, the winter is coming. Oh, the winter is here. When we're releasing this episode, the winter is here. So, yes, I agree with all of the things that you said. Now we want to get into how we go about planning your meals. And I know this can be very overwhelming, confusing, and we want to try to make it as simple as possible because it doesn't have to be that complicated. So last week, if you were listening to this series, which is our Nutrition Essentials series, we talked about how to put together nourishing meals. And our favorite tool for doing that, as you probably heard us say so many times on this podcast episode, is using the MyPlate method. This podcast is brought to you by Philo. I don't know about you, but after a long day of seeing clients and recording our podcast and creating content and partnering with brands and speaking and all the things, there is nothing I like better than unwinding and watching a little TV, especially with my seltzer water, which I drink out of a wine glass. But what I hate is the hassle of finding what to watch and piecing together all of these different logins from all of my friends and family members' accounts because I'm too cheap to pay for a crazy cable bill. Enter Philo. Philo is live and on-demand TV for just $25 a month. If you can't get enough of your favorite shows, then you definitely want to give Philo a chance. Philo has everything from VH1 to Comedy Central to BET, Discovery. The list goes on because there are over 60 channels. You never have to miss your favorite shows like Love & Hip Hop, I'm going there, Black Ink Crew, RuPaul's Drag Race, and even classics like Martin and the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. What I love most about Philo is A, the price, because $25 is great, but also there's no contracts, no commitments, and no hassles. They also have an unlimited DVR for 1 year, so you can save all of your favorite shows and watch on your own schedule. Philo allows for multiple profiles and multiple streams, meaning everyone in the house can have their own saved shows, and you can simultaneously stream on 3 devices at one time, so you never have to fight over what to watch again. With Philo, you can start watching in seconds for less money with less hassle and channel comfort. Sign up today at philo.tv. That's philo.tv. And use the promo code FOODHEAVEN to get 50% off your first month. The MyPlate method basically suggests that we try to make half of our plate non-starchy veggies, 1/4 protein, 1/4 whole grains, or some kind of starchy carbohydrate. And of course, we want to add fats to that equation as well, because those are very important for so many different things. If you are curious, check out the first episode in this Nutrition Essentials series, where we talk about all of the different macronutrients. But anyway, so the MyPlate method is kind of the foundational framework that we use to plan our meals and therefore do our meal prepping. So we like to try to have a protein, a carb, a fat, and fiber, which is a non-starchy vegetables, on at least like 2 plates if we can. You know, this isn't always going to be the case for breakfast, maybe. Maybe that's a little more simple, but an example for breakfast actually that you could do is buying staples like eggs. That's your protein. Then you could have that with maybe a piece of sourdough toast, which could be your starchy carbohydrate. You could have some berries with that, or banana. That could be your fruit. And then for fat, you can have an avocado. So that kind of gives you an example of the MyPlate method used within breakfast.
Yeah. And so, you know, in thinking about these different food groups, that can serve as a guide for what you're going to be buying when you go to the supermarket. So just having an idea of, okay, what are the proteins? What are the carbs? What are the vegetables / fiber / fruit that I'm going to be eating for the week? And so that way you have some variety and you're able to like combine the different groups. And so, for example, like protein, maybe for the next couple of weeks, you want to focus on eggs for breakfast and chicken for lunch and dinner. Or you want to have fish for lunch, and you want to do turkey for dinner. And so, you know, just kind of like identifying what some of those foods are going to be from each food group so that you're able to include some variety when you go food shopping. And also, buying canned or frozen is totally fine. And really, that goes for anything. Like vegetables, you can buy them frozen, especially if you're short on time. You know, it could be a bit of a challenge to like prepare fresh vegetables. If you buy like frozen cauliflower or broccoli, you just throw it in the oven and, you know, you could add that to your meal. So that might give you a little more flexibility, because there's like, I feel like frozen food, canned food gets a lot of shade, and it's actually like a very convenient way to get your nutrients in.
Yep. I'm a canned girly. I think also it's like many people feel like meal prepping or planning has to be this thing that is very diety, where it's like, okay, I'm just going to do like my baked chicken, sheet pan meals. And that's not the case at all. And honestly, like, you don't even have to pre-prep everything, because you can just like make the meals in the moment too. Like, you don't have to do it in advance. The only reason it would be helpful to do it in advance, if you are somebody who is busy and can't do it in the moment. And I think it's also important to acknowledge that that is probably the majority of people, where it's harder to like say at lunch, like, what do I feel like eating? One thing that I actually like to do, though, is maybe prep a couple of different things or staples, or have like frozen things I could make, but know that I could rotate those out. So it's like, okay, maybe for lunch, I was thinking I was going to have this tofu and rice bowl, but I'm actually not in the mood for that right now. I want like to make my naan pizza, just a couple of examples from this week. So you can be super flexible with it as well. It doesn't have to be like this intense thing. Also, one thing we want to point out is this idea of staples. We like to make sure, like when we do our inventory, they were always stocked on those staples, which are things that are kind of consistent month to month. So staples for me are always like frozen fruit, peanut butter, oatmeal, rice, that kind of thing. And what I love to do, and I think Wendy, you like this as well, is I get those things on a monthly basis. So I will go to Costco and shop for enough staples for the month. And then on a weekly basis, you can, you know, either order from wherever you order your groceries or do the farmer's market and get kind of your in-between things that you're pairing your staples with. And it makes it a lot less stressful, because you kind of have these hearty things are all ready to go, and it's less time consuming. And also you end up saving money, because of course places like Costco or BJ's are going to be cheaper for those staples. I actually have a guide. It's an article that I wrote for Self Magazine about my favorite non-perishable staples from Costco and I believe Trader Joe's. And so if you want that guide, just DM us at Food Heaven Costco and we'll send it to you so you can have the list of the things we love to buy.
You know, it's funny. I'm always, I don't know if it's just me, but I'm always spelling Costco, Cotsco.
Really? Oh my God.
C-O-T. Yeah. It's, I mean, Costco makes a lot more sense. Yes. But anyways, make sure you spell it correctly.
Because you guys don't have one, maybe? Do you not have one?
In New York?
Yeah.
We do.
Like in the city.
Not a...
Well,
no excuses,
right?
No, we do have one. It's just me and my bad spelling is all. But anyways, make sure you spell it correctly, because otherwise you won't
get the guide.
So once you have your staples lined up, the next step is going to be gathering ideas, because for a lot of us, inspiration doesn't just rain upon it. Kind of takes a little more intention, a little more planning. And so it might help to have a few websites or like food publications that you go to for recipe inspo. I can absolutely share some of my favorite websites. For example, like A Couple Cooks. I love their recipes. I feel like they're very easy to make. They have like different options for people that have different dietary preferences. Our boy Kevin has his website, Fitman Cook. Amazing. I've done several of his recipes. They taste so, so good and they're very balanced. Also, Pinch of Yum has like really great recipes. Jess, do you have any others that you enjoy going to?
Yeah, I also love A Couple Cooks. I just DM'd them and was like, I just need to give you guys kudos because your website is so amazing and just beautiful. I love What's Gabi Cooking too.
Oh, yeah.
She's our girl and she is a chef and she like is a good mix of simplicity and elevated at the same time. Like, you know, she kind of understands the culinary side of things. Sometimes I'll go to Bon Appetit too if I'm feeling wild and crazy. But yeah, I think you mentioned all my favorite. I think our friend Adriana from A Cozy Kitchen also has a really beautiful website and lots of staple recipes. And she's especially good with like baking if you're a baker and want to add that into your meal prep.
Yeah, and it might also help to do theme nights. It kind of takes the guesswork out of things. So you know that, you know, Fridays you do pizza, Mondays you're doing soup, Thursdays you're having tacos. You know, I don't know. I feel like it just, you don't really have to overthink it. You already know what to look forward to. And It's really just a matter of like making those things interesting.
Yeah, I just remembered my sister. This is my mom's thing and my sister's thing where I got this idea of the theme nights. And my sister has this whole spreadsheet of her themes. And like she has like slow cooker Saturdays. And then her rotation of the different things she does, like I think she changes it every like couple months to make it, or every week actually, to make it more exciting. Anyway, when I mention it to like my clients, they're always like, please send me that. We should make that part of the giveaway. Maybe we'll do it for next week. So stay tuned for next week. I will figure out a way to get this to you guys easily. And yeah, that'll be part of our giveaway for next week.
I like that.
Mm-hmm. All right. So we talked about ideas, the themes. Now let's get on to the actual prep and what that looks like. I think it can be different for everybody. And what I always ask my clients is, how much time do you have? And or are you willing to spend on this? If you are someone who you have a busy job and you don't have the time, then maybe you don't want to do all this prep. Maybe it's better for you to do some kind of meal delivery service, which y'all know I'm a huge fan of those too. And that's fine, right? Like, I think it's just being honest with what you have, what your budget is, what your bandwidth is. So if you have, you know, 1 or 2 hours a week, I think that can be incredibly helpful to set aside some time to prep things in advance. So you don't have to make all the meals. You can do something as simple as chopping your vegetables or putting them in the food processor. You can cook any of your grains or your beans, or like me, you can buy frozen grains and you can do canned beans. And I mean, I think something as simple as rinsing those beans off And if you're going to season them up, season them and put them in your Tupperware, like that can be helpful. If you're doing frozen fish or frozen chicken, defrosting those things overnight can also make a huge, huge difference. So Wendy, what are some of the favorite things that you like to do in advance?
My go-to thing every week is chopping onions and garlic, because like I mentioned before, like I really use those ingredients often in my cooking. And so I just put them in my food processor and then I, you know, store it in the Tupperware in the fridge, and then I'm all set for the week. I just have to, like, you know, I add them, like, for example, when I'm making omelets, I'll add a little bit of onion to my garlic or peppers. It just makes life so much easier. Also, like, I like to prepare staples throughout the week. Like, for example, I'll make a batch of rice or a batch of like roasted potatoes or something like that. I'll make some stewed beans and kind of just have different things that I can remix throughout the week together. So for example, like the rice, I can have it with my favorite protein, or I could take that protein and put it into a quesadilla or into a soup, and just kind of like having the option of creating different options for meals. Cause mm-hmm. personally, I can't eat the same meal more than twice in a week.
Yeah.
Like I'm just like, it kind of makes me a little gaggy. So I have to be able to switch it up or it's going to go in the garbage.
Yeah. That's the problem with me for the recipe development. Now that I'm doing more of that, it's like, cause you have to make things like three times.
Yeah.
And by the third time, I'm just like, oh God, I don't want to hate lasagna. So I have to like, and like yesterday, I like gave it to my sister. I went over there and I was like, here, I made you guys something. And she's like, oh my God, thank the Lord.
Yeah. I'm forever like giving things away, especially like lately I've been doing a lot of like Instapot recipes for the winter. And you know, for these Instapot recipes, like you want to be able to feed a good amount of people. So it'll be like 6 to 8 servings. And I'm like, okay, great. Like, what am I going to do with all this food? So yeah, I'll be like, hey, I'm coming over. Got some food mm-hmm. for you. And like, literally like my neighbors, my super, I'm like always giving out food because it's so much.
Yeah. And it's a win-win for everybody because you're not wasting it. My sister had what I made yesterday and she's like, oh, I didn't want to cook, you know, thank the Lord. So I think, you know, just, I don't even know the point of that. But anyways.
Like this everyone really wins. No, but for our listeners, because this is just like our experience working in the kitchen, literally. But for you, you can scale down. Like if you know that, you know, you're not going to eat all of this food, scale down, make less, or you can freeze the rest and then have it when you're craving it again.
Of course. Yeah. Now on to the My Plate method. So we mentioned this already before. And now we're just going to do a refresher because I think with some of these things, it's helpful to hear them more than once, right? So we get the full gist of it. So as we mentioned, we love the My Plate method because it helps you feel satisfied during the day and it minimizes cravings and energy crashes later on. And it's not that there's anything wrong with cravings per se, but if you're somebody who is having all these different cravings all day long and all night and you're waking up hungry in the middle of the night, then that might just mean that you're not getting enough food and getting enough of the different food groups on your plate throughout the day. So with the My Plate method, you can do meals in different ways. So some examples might be, you know, you make your rice, which is your carbohydrate, your starch, and then you can prep some grilled chicken, or a lot of my clients might even get a rotisserie chicken if they don't have the time to actually cook the grilled chicken, which is one of my favorite things to recommend. And then you can even roast some vegetables on a sheet pan and put that in the fridge. And when you're ready to serve it, you can have some kind of fatty dressing or avocado or something like that to put on top. So you are including your fat portion as well, which is just as important.
I also love buying canned tuna and canned salmon, actually, because that is a very easy protein addition. You literally just throw it into your salad, throw it on a sandwich, and you're a lot more satisfied than, you know, just having like, I don't know, a grilled cheese or something like that.
Yeah. And it's so affordable too.
Yeah.
I actually buy the canned salmon for my dog.
Oh.
No disrespect. Yeah, because she won't eat the food. Like, I have to mix the food with the canned salmon. She's like beyond a diva. It's like, I can't even. But yeah, it can work for everyone in the fam. And yeah, so just the example that I gave with the rice, the chicken, and the veggies, like, that can be in a bowl, like I mentioned, with avocado and the dressing. Or another thing that you can do is make a stew as well. Like, let's say you have some chicken. One of my favorite things to do, not with chicken, because I don't eat chicken just because I don't like it. Not that there's anything wrong with it. But I might put like a can of beans with rice with a can of salsa, put that in the Instant Pot, and that's your meal right there. Right. But you could do that with chicken just as easily. Beans, rice, and a can of salsa or jar of salsa. So there's so many things that you can remix and match. And we encourage you to, because there's nothing worse, like Winnie said, than having to eat the same exact thing every day. And also, many of us don't have the time or money to buy something completely different. So it's all about thinking of different things you can do with the same few ingredients to spice them up.
Yeah, those salsas are life-changing. Trader Joe's mm-hmm. has some really good ones, like just for different types of cuisines. Like, they have Mexican, they have Indian, and these sauces will completely transform a meal. Like, you can add them to season your proteins, for example. I love like enchilada sauce, adding that to slow cooker yep. meals, salsa verde, like any type of like curry sauce. Trader Joe's has this like red curry sauce, and I think mm-hmm. it's made with coconut milk. I add like a little bit of that, and that's really all I need to do. I'll add it to my protein and that's it. I don't have to use any spices or really any yeah. onion or anything. It just adds so much yeah. flavor.
The sauce is really where it's at.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, just like even if you just invest in like two sauces a week and kind of play with those, that's where it's at. I also want to give one of my favorite tips ever from a podcast guest. And this is kind of what to do when you're done meal prepping, and let's say you make a huge batch of something and you know that after a couple of days, you're going to be sick of it, yet you don't want to throw it away. So this is from Budget Bites. And that's another great website, by the way, for mm-hmm. ideas. But she recommends freezing your leftovers, but instead of freezing it in a huge Tupperware, freezing it individually. So that way you have a portion that you can take out that you can microwave, and you have an individualized meal versus having to thaw out this whole big thing in Tupperware for one meal. And then again, like, it's kind of gross to thaw it and then refreeze it. It can kind of change the quality. So that's a great, great suggestion. I also really like, I've been seeing a lot of people on Instagram with their, what do you call them? They're kind of like restaurants containers, like those plastic containers that are different sizes that people in restaurants use for things. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I don't think so.
Like, okay, well, basically it's like, if you follow like chefs on Instagram, they always have like containers of like, oh, I'm playing with this sauce. And they'll put like a little piece of tape on it with a Sharpie, and it'll say like what it is or like what date they did it. Anyway, I bought some of those. I can link in the show notes. It was like, I don't know, $20. Best purchase I ever made. Because now they come in different sizes and you can wash them and they're not heavy. And it's nice if you have like a little bit of extra random sauce that you don't want to use a whole Tupperware for, or you chop some onion and there's a little left over that you could use for something, but yet you don't want to waste a whole Tupperware. So I'll link that. But that has been really helpful in creating less food waste, but also like preserving the food well.
Cool. All right. So in wrapping, we're going to do a quick fire round where we're going to go over meal ideas that are going to cover the concepts that we went over today. So throw a food at me.
Okay, tofu.
Okay, so we're going to do some pan-fried tofu. We're going to keep that in the fridge, and then we're going to add different sauces throughout the week so we can mix up the flavor. Then we're going to have that with some brown rice or some roasted potatoes and your favorite vegetables.
Zing!
Period! Okay.
Ground beef or plant-based grounds?
Okay, chili with beans, cheese, sour cream, and you can have that with tortilla chips.
Loves it. Okay, chicken.
Okay, we're gonna do stewed chicken, and to make it a one-pot meal, we can make that as a curry with potatoes and cauliflower.
Well,
there you have it.
The jackpot. But you did not win the $2 billion lotto.
Girl, anyways, right.
Our jackpot is this. Here's the jackpot, everybody. I have these articles that I wrote for self because I have to think about things with these meals. So I have like my quick meal ideas, my Trader Joe's meal ideas, and my Whole Foods on a budget meal ideas. So we have another one, another DMer. If you DM us at Food Heaven, meal ideas, one word, two words, doesn't matter. We are going to send you this list. So if you're like me and you're like, ooh, on the spot, can't do it, it's all here, okay? DM us at Food Heaven meal ideas. All right, so the takeaways, really quickly, let's just recap what we talked about. We want to start small, keep it simple, make sure that we organize our kitchen and do a check to see what we have. You want to make sure you have some great equipment for cooking, cutting boards, can openers, all the things. When you're doing your meal planning, keep that My Plate method in mind. Try to have a mixture of carb, fat, protein, and fiber. Remember, with your meal prep, it does not have to be intense. It can be as little as 10 minutes or as much as 2 hours. Be honest with yourself what you have time for. You can freeze those leftovers in individual containers and have those as your personal TV dinners. And remember to just have fun, put on a podcast, this podcast, and listen to some music. I'm going to start making some cooking playlists.
Oh, girl, yes. I'm going to hold you to it.
Listen, I was going to say, don't hold me to it. But that is on my list when I'm in the shower. I'm like, well, I should do a playlist. So anyway, that's that. Thank y'all for listening. Thanks so much for listening to another episode of the Food Heaven podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to connect with us online. We're most active on the gram at Food Heaven, but we're also on Facebook and Twitter at Food Heaven Show. If you like this podcast, make sure to rate, review, subscribe, and share with a friend.
Yep, our podcast is released every Wednesday, and each week we take a deep dive into topics like health at every size, food and culture, intuitive eating, mental health, and body acceptance. If you're looking for a sustainable and inclusive path to wellness, come hang out with us to learn how to take care of yourself from the inside out. We'll catch you next time.
Bye.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.